ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
What verse is it? 3?
Yeah.
This is the... He's describing the forest, huh? Forget the next verse. Forest of enjoyment. And purport by His Divine Grace is He Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In this forest there are dense bowers composed of thickets, of bushes, grasses, and creepers. In those bowers the conditioned soul is always disturbed by cruelly biting mosquitoes, envious people. Sometimes he sees an imaginary palace in the forest, and sometimes he is bewildered by seeing a fleeting fiend or ghost, which appears like a meteor in the sky. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunita Nanda Shri Raita Radha Shiva Sri Gaura Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So the basic misconception is that the karmis think they can be happy in the material world by adjusting circumstances, they can get a nice house and live very comfortably. Therefore, they generally don't appreciate the preachers because preachers, they tell them that this is false. And so they feel uncomfortable in association with preachers and they don't want to meet with them and so on. Or if they do meet them, then they don't stay very long, they go away. Therefore, that verse is there. One shouldn't visit the holy places just to take bath, but one should visit the holy places to hear from the sadhus who are there. This is the real purpose. When Prabhupada was speaking in Mayapur in his room having a nice darshan, there was about 20 people there, and then this couple came in, Bengali couple, young couple. Prabhupada stopped speaking, said, Boshan, you know, sit down. Then, he again, when they were seated, began to speak, and after about 30 seconds, they got up and went outside. I was sitting behind these people. So I was thinking, boy, are they stupid, these people, they don't understand. You know, Prabhupada was speaking so nicely, and Krishna Katha, everybody was listening, and sometimes there was a question. But they're so stupid that they just come for 2 minutes, 2 seconds, and get up and go out. And Prabhupada commented about it too. He said, this is the problem, they are not dhira. They're not sober. Sober to hear, to understand. They're restless. They want to go, you know, ring the bell and go. That was another thing. In the middle of Prabhupada's lecture, he'd be speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. People would come in and start ringing the bell. Gong, 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 gong. So you have to have somebody there to stop them. Don't let them ring the bell. But they have no idea. They think this is their spiritual life. Ring the bell or some kind of materialistic. But the real spiritual life is this hearing. But the materialists, they won't be happy to hear because it makes their whole life seem foolish. You go to your mother, you try to explain to them, but then they think, well, that means I've worked my whole life for nothing? Yes, that's right, for nothing. They can't tell, it's too much. Therefore, it's said that everybody's living a lie. And if you take away that lie, then they immediately become unhappy. So they don't want to hear from us. They don't want to hear from the real sadhu. Because they want to be happy. But that's a false happiness. That happiness is based on illusion, just like it's mentioned here, like the Gandharvas make a house in the sky. It's not a real house, but it looks like a house. So they're working so hard, day and night, going out to get a house like this. The man who worked to build this house, he was enjoying, he had his pool table here, there's a big pool table. But where is he now? He worked hard. The house is here, but he's not here. So this is the dilemma. So why not try to make a platform that won't be taken away? This is the idea of spiritual life. You want to be happy, that's okay. But we have the method that you can be happy without interruption. Brahma Bhuta, without some disturbance. This is the goal. Otherwise, there's always some trouble here. The example of mosquitoes. So much trouble. You can't When a place is mosquito infested, you always have to be going like this. There's someone coming to your leg, coming to. There's always a disturbance. You go to pass stool, pass urine. It's like a disturbance all the time. So that's the nature of the material world. We may try to eliminate those disturbances for some time. We may get a nice screen door, there are no mosquitoes. But there's some other disturbances coming. You can't avoid it. The nature of this body. Yeah, it's always some problem. And therefore, what should we do? Commit suicide? No, we should use the time and the energy that we have, this body included, in the service of the Lord. This way, we're qualified to get a spiritual body. And this is very reasonable. Because if our desire is to serve the Lord, really, then Krishna reciprocates. He says, as you reciprocate with me, I reciprocate accordingly. So if our desire is strongly to serve the Lord, then he has to give us a spiritual body so that we can serve him nicely. How can we serve intimately with this material body, which is all smelly and full of so many of mucus and bile and stool and urine? So therefore, Krishna will say, yes, okay, you want to serve me here. This is your spiritual body. Let it be developed. And so in that spiritual body, we can render intimate service. So this is the goal, to develop our spiritual body. Now it's covered. The soul is sleeping, because we're taking this material body as all in all. So simply we have to use that same thing, the Bhagavatam says, isn't the substance which is cause of disease can be used therapeutically. Example is given, if you drink too much milk, you can get indigestion. But if you take the same milk and make it into curd, then that curd can cure the indigestion, or diarrhea, whatever it is. So the same thing, we're working, we're also interested in building a house, a nice temple. We're also interested in making money. So many things are there, similar to the karmis. But the difference is, we're doing it for the glorification of the Lord, for the greater glory of God in every instance. Therefore, these same activities will cure us of the disease, of the material disease. But we have to take it, we have to do it seriously and regularly in order for it to work. We can't just, like a shooting star, a meteorite is given the example, comes very quickly and goes very quickly. It looks very bright, it's like our mark, very bright and very powerful in his way, but then he goes. He won't be able to last unless he's very fortunate, gets the shelter of some senior Vaisnav who he is happy to serve, because this is the qualification. We're just reading Bhaktivinoda's prayer there about how the Vaishnav can, or Narottams, I guess it was. The service of the Vaishnava is so important because that is tangible. Otherwise, we're serving our mind, going here and there. There's no limit. Manarata, was it? Manaratena. Yeah, there's a verse like that. Manaratena. The chariot of the mind. It's carrying us, just like a chariot. Therefore, Prabhupada says, in that regard, that the karmis have no good qualities. Why? How can you say no good qualities? They're doing this, they're doing that, so many good things. No, because they're on a mental platform, therefore they'll be carried. They may be doing something good now, but it's the other side of something bad. In the next life or the next situation, they'll do something which is just opposite of what they did that was good. So it has no really substantial goodness to it. Therefore, we say only the devotee has the good qualities, because he's using them for the glory of the Lord. Therefore, they're eternal. Otherwise, these temporary qualities, what is the good? If in this life you're very kind, in the next life you're very cruel. What is it? There's no ultimately any good there. It all comes out to zero in the end. Therefore, the only devotee. And the devotee means, first of all, the servant of the Vaishnavas. This is a very important point. Serving the Vaishnavas. And we can serve them in different ways. Those who are less advanced, we give them mercy. Yes, I was telling Mark on the phone. There's so many new people there. Why don't you try to help them? This is service to the Vaishnavas. No, I want to go to Poland. Or something. Do what? No. Serve the Vaishnavas is very, very important. The root and the creeper of devotional service. This is the fastest way to make advancement. Serving the Vaishnavas. Those who are more advanced, you serve in a certain way. Those who are equal, you serve in another way. Those who are less advanced, you serve in another way. But the service should be there. That's the mood. of the devotee. He's always thinking how to serve. He takes pleasure. Prabhupada gave that example. One of his godbrothers, Anand, was cooking for the devotees at one function. And he was cooking for so many hours. And then he came out and he was serving everyone. And he was smiling, so happy to see the devotees eating. He was so happy. And serving them, coming, more Prabhu, take some more. You know, there was about 20 devotees. And he was serving everyone individually. And he had cooked the whole prasad. And Prabhupada said, this is the Vaishnava. This is the sign of a Vaishnava. That he's so happy to serve the Vaishnavas. This is a really qualification. How he's satisfied by serving the Vaishnavas. So, it's an open secret. Anybody can do it. We have to serve. Are we serving our mind? Are we serving some stupid thing? Some woman? Some ordinary person? Why not serve the Vaishnavas? Okay, any questions? Such a nice arrangement Krishna's made, serving the Vaishnavas. That's why Shashabindu is always smiling. Yeah. He's always smiling, right? He always looks happy. Only one time I saw him, I guess you've seen him sometimes too, but one time he was a little apprehensive, you know what that means. Apprehensive, you know? He was apprehending that something bad could happen. He was considering, you know, he was nervous a little bit because I was chastising Rupa Goswami in his presence. I told Rupa Goswami that I didn't want to eat. I didn't want to have any prasad for lunch. But he thought that no, Guru Maharaj should eat, otherwise how will he be strong? So he brought prasad to me. And then Shashabindu was also there. So I was blasting him. I think Shashabindu brought it. Rupa Goswami is the one who I had told. He was a temple commander. Why are you bringing it? Guru Maharaj, you have to be strong. I said, you think you get strong just by eating? It's nothing. Anyway, they took it back, but Shashabindu was like, you didn't see me get angry before. And then Rupa Goswami came the next, you know, and about an hour later, he said, I'm sorry, I want to please you. Please forgive me, you know, Rupa Goswami, that I didn't do that. Okay. Shri Bhagavatam ki.
Jaya.